Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you would like to connect with myself or my guests during this hour, if you have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. So let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio, 43302. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce market, every second Saturday of every month. The time is from 12 noon until 2 p.m. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And give them thanks for being with A Voice of a People all these years, and they have been faithful, and I thank you for that. Okay, I'd like to open up my show with a thought for today, and it's themed Que Sera Sera. Resistance leads to persistence. Whatever you resist or push against, simply persist and pushes back in equal measure. Instead, transform resistance into acceptance by practicing Que Sera, Que Sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Que Sera, Sera. Doris Day. Remember that?
I do remember that. Yes, I do remember that.
The voice you hear is my guest today, Pastor Rowan Anderson. He's a pastor of The Gathering Place, where he co-pastors with his lovely wife, Megan Anderson. So how are you today?
I am doing wonderful.
Well, great.
Doing really good.
Good to see you.
It's good to be here. Yes, I always enjoy my time.
And he's here with his daughter. She's doing the camera and all that. How are you?
My beautiful baby girl.
Yes.
So she's growing up.
From you, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She is turning 16.
Oh,
16, I should say. Forgive me, sweetheart. Yeah, she's 16 years of age.
Can't leave that out, Dad.
Cannot leave that out at all.
You know how important 16 is,
that's
right?
That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I didn't realize her and Jeremiah the same age then, right?
That's right. Yes. Yes, they are.
My grandson. I can't believe it. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Well, life goes on.
Well, there it is. Well, I remember your granddaughter, Lindsay. And so when we came around, Jeremiah was, my goodness, either newlyborn or just, you know, barely, because we remember Lindsay as a baby, you know, like 1 or 2 years of age. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, we've known your family for a very long time.
Wow, that is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, but I'm so glad to be here.
I'm good. It's good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're doing well and your family's doing well.
Yes, they are. Thank God.
That's
very praise
important
God.
In mm-hmm. these days that we live in.
It really is.
Yes, and we know we're all frightened in a sense and nervous in another sense and have expectations of what is to come, which we don't know.
Right.
And you
right.
came to give us some encouragement today, didn't you?
Absolutely.
In the world of coronavirus,
yes.
right?
You know, it's interesting because people need encouragement.
Yes.
You know, they do. And I think they need encouragement because in that word, it means to take heart. You know, the word courage is in there. So whether you are, no matter what race you are, no matter what, you know, your education background, no matter where you graduated from,
true.
No matter your economic status, everybody, if you're breathing, you need to be encouraged.
Yes,
so, yeah.
we need that today.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and you said you were coming with Live fearless, not careless.
Yeah, I really believe it's important that we take a balanced approach. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is we have to be able to make sure that, especially as people of faith, because we have a voice.
Right.
We have a voice. One of the things I'm concerned with is that there's so much noise being made right now. And with so much noise being made, you can kind of miss the voice and then get direction, you know, what to do. And I don't know about you, but, you know, if you're driving and, you know, you have your Waze now, they have so many different apps that can help you to get to where you want to go.
Right.
But if you have no direction,
true,
you know, you're frustrated. And number two, if you have no direction, you know, you have no idea where you're going. But with that, you got to know, well, where we want to end up.
Right.
So I think that's really where we got to start, is where do we want to end up? And then we can seek the direction. And so each institution has their own destination, right?
True.
They have their own place where they want to end up.
True.
And when they're conflicting based on these institutions that we put so many confidence in, what happens is we have these variety of emotions. And so therefore, we need to be encouraged. How do I take heart when my heart is being, you know, all over the place,
right,
based
twisted
on
and turned and flipped and flopped and
absolutely, yeah, yeah. So
no,
absolutely, yeah. So from the church, that's the lane I run in. Now, thank God, I'm gifted to run into different lanes. But the lane of which I run in is really the lane of the church. Mm-hmm. And I told my wife, I said, Megan, I said, I'm really excited about it. It's been 4 years pastoring the amazing church at the Gathering Place,
right.
But I know my lane, and so I want to be effective in the lane that God has caused me to run in, and
right.
especially in, like you mentioned at the beginning of this program, the days of which we're living in.
Yes.
You know, it needs
absolutely.
To be very clear. Yeah.
Yes.
So live free, not careless, is really the message of the church, to know that we are both people of revelation, not necessarily the book, but revelation in terms of God's directive, but we're also people that understand how to be relevant.
Right.
You know, and to be real. Mm-hmm. And so that's where this is really coming from. And I think it's a mess for everybody. Right. How to live fearless and at the same time not live careless.
Right.
You know, and I think that can bring everybody together.
That's a big order.
It really is. It really is. It really is.
It kind of seems like you're asking for a lot right now, you know.
But my confidence is in Jesus has done it.
Yes, he has.
So, you know, it's not easy.
No.
But he has done it. And so our responsibility as people of faith is to be that voice. And that's why I keep emphasizing the fact that there's so many avenues for conversations.
Yes.
I'm not even going to say communication yet. There's so many avenues for conversation
right.
that we haven't even gotten to a place of communication yet, let alone connecting. Mm. We're just at the place of having this conversation.
That's true.
That's where we are.
Yes.
We have to move the conversation down the road to communication.
Right.
Hence the importance of the church.
Right.
That the church really, and when I say the word church, I'm talking about, you know, people of faith that are, again, seeking, you know, the word of God, because I said Jesus has already given us the template. He's mm-hmm. he's lived it. And at the same time, we want to be relevant because we are in the 21st century.
Right.
You know, this is something new, right? And so I think that's why it's critical for the church to make sure that our voice is being heard. We're not shouting, but our voice is being heard.
Right. And if you had to shout, what would you shout?
Oh, first and foremost is Jesus is Lord. That's the first thing I think we got to shout, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be something bigger than, you know, than what we're
back.
Facing. Absolutely. So because he is Lord, he's coming back.
Yes, yes.
You know, I mean, that confirms it. And so I remember I heard one speaker one time said that if we didn't even understand his first coming, how are we going to prepare for his second coming?
Ooh.
So that's what I said, we got to move the conversation now to communicating.
Yes.
What really is the message of the church?
Right.
And so as much as there's these varieties of institution, because this particular time we're living in my lifetime anyway, hasn't rocked all the different, quote-unquote, foundation of of the world, and let alone foundation of where I live in America.
Right.
So because of that, it's that much more important for us to really dive deep into this dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Not debate, but dialogue.
Dialogue.
To see how can we move the conversation forward to now we can actually communicate.
Right.
You know, and I think that's
where
we
need are. We need a lot, like you said, I was saying, well, where are we? What are we going to do? And you
right.
said scientifically,
right.
we have to follow their lead right now. Is that what, that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah, and so that's a great segue into what I want to talk about,
right,
because
right.
I want to throw some words out, if that's okay.
Yes.
So if I use the word, you know, this is a challenge, okay? It means different things to different people.
Right.
Man, raising kids could be a challenge.
Yeah, you know, it is.
Going to work could be a challenge.
And that too.
Your medical health could be a challenge.
Yes.
So when we say the word challenge, each person that hears that word can have a different image comes to their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And most part, it's within, it's personal.
True.
You know, the next word could be change. One of the hardest things people do is change, but one of the most consistent thing is change.
Yes, it is.
And so there's elements of change. Even this radio program, I mean, it's changing the way things are being communicated. You know, there's change, and you have to keep up with it. The word climate is another word. And finally, the other word is the word crisis. So these four words, Linda, are words right now that prior to the last one I'm going to share,
mm-hmm.
Each individual had their own sort of situation, circumstance that can involve that. Because some people can face a challenge, but it's not necessarily a change.
Right.
Some people could be facing a climate, you know, but it's not really a crisis. When I say this final word, we're going to see how important and why we want to get to this element from the scientific perspective of what we're going on. But when I say the word COVID-19 or the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
do you know that everybody's on the same page now?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just about the challenge. Everybody's affected. Because when the World Health Organization called it a pandemic, according to their definition,
right,
it meant it was a global thing now.
Right.
Because there's been pandemics that were in, you know, Europe and didn't really affect us. This
True.
One is a global one.
True.
And more than just global, it's affecting, no matter if you're a multimillionaire, because we have actors who are saying they have it from, you know, someone that nobody even knows, you know, the John Doe. So we're seeing something now that is from a scale that is magnetic. It's so big. It's mega that everyone needs to be paying attention.
Yeah, no, that's right.
That
right
one there. Word has caught the attention of everybody.
Everybody.
So we got to start the conversation because that's what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
You can't scroll through your social platform or your method of getting information.
True.
And not read something about the COVID-19 and the coronavirus pandemic that we're in.
I know. It's like it's consuming us.
Absolutely. That's a great word. Starts with C as well. You know
yes,
what I mean?
It is, right?
So yeah. So that is a phenomenal word because that is actually the best description of it. It has gotten into us.
Wow.
And so therefore we don't know what to do with it now.
No.
Because we're so much stuff is being said. So I think the first thing is we got to start the conversation. And so the church needs to be the vessel or the vehicle
mm-hmm.
that says, let's get the conversation moving down the road.
Right.
Because we got to move to communication. Because if we don't, there'll be tremendous amount of civil
unrest. Yeah.
And a lot of confusion and chaos.
Yes.
And the church understands chaos because right in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, we see how God dealt with chaos.
Right.
He spoke.
Yes, he did.
He spoke. And he said, hey, let's have a conversation. No, he went and said, this is the communication.
Right.
Let there be light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the church has to become that light.
Yes.
That can give people the hope that they really need. So these are trying times, but these are also triumphant times at the same. And hence the reason, live fearless, because
mm-hmm.
they are trying times. But we're not careless in how we communicate to people. But we got to get the conversation to that part.
Yes,
and you know, we're, in my opinion, we're not there yet. I think we're still in the conversation phases, because all our world leaders are there. That's what I'm saying. They're all at the place of, hey, we got to be talking. What are we going to do? And let's talk to the, you know, the medical profession. Let's talk to this person. Let's talk to that. Let's look at the model. So what is happening now is strictly conversation.
And how do you look at this different than 911?
Oh, great question. It's different because whenever the economies of the world are being affected, because it's one thing for 9/11 and for our enemies to celebrate our destruction. Mm-hmm. No nation can sit there and say, now they can do the blame,
right?
But none of them can actually say this didn't affect their backyard.
Right.
So 9/11 was contained to the United States of America with some, again, noise from the other nations. Mm-hmm. But this one now is every nation is feeling the weight and affected somehow from COVID-19.
185 nations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and this is a global pandemic. So mm-hmm. you can see the reason why it's vital
right.
that we start the conversation.
Absolutely.
Because just the question alone by 9/11 is some people's reference point, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's when they remember, 2001.
Right.
We're now in 2020, and they're like, man, it makes 9/11 look like it was.
Forget about it. It was a hit, and there was over.
I mean, I was going to say right? speed bump, but this makes 9/11 look like, as tragic as it was. I want to make sure our listeners, definitely a loss of life is tragic no matter what. But this looks like it's an anthill compared to, you know, this mountain.
Because at least the people who did the driving or flying the planes into the buildings, they disintegrated with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It was like over. We just had to try to find out where we was, where we're going to go. But this thing is still lingering.
Right. Absolutely. And so even in 9/11, and in any tragedy, in any sort of catastrophe, mm-hmm. we first go to a place of there's always the issue of debate. Because we stay in that conversation place.
Right, right.
And so we debate it. We got to find blame. That's the human part of us, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be able to somehow have some control.
Right.
So I've got to be able to. I've got to leave this somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like this needs to land somewhere.
Right. Right.
And so that's why with the conversation, noise is being made because every nation says, "Don't drop it at my feet."
Mm-hmm.
Because then the world will be looking and saying, "Why didn't you do something about it?"
What was they gonna do? What can they do?
Right. Well, and that's part of the whole thing is, well, we've got to have somebody. As human, we have to have somewhere to put this.
Right.
This needs to go somewhere.
Yes.
Because when hearts are heavy, when people want to be encouraged, we have to go somewhere.
Yes.
And so, case in point, the church, we go to the scripture. So you got probably more, well, not probably, they're telling us more Bibles are being purchased in this season than
ever.
Ever. I don't know. Couldn't remember the last time. They got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, some are going more even to the medical field. I mean, so people are going somewhere with this.
Trying to find answers.
Trying to find answers and trying to find some way that this thing that's consuming them.
Right, right.
Can stop the squeeze. You see what I'm saying? They want to be able to breathe. They want to be able to say, what can we do? So we have the world's attention. And this has not happened. Not in my lifetime, anyways.
Mine either.
Yeah, it just hasn't happened. So it's interesting time, and so that's why the whole thing of what we're doing, if I may just give a plug, mm-hmm. is what we're doing is really getting people to understand this what I believe to be a prophetic word, because see, I don't want my voice to be contaminated and then confused with noise. What I want it to be, I want to make a contribution to the sound of heaven.
Oh yes, absolutely.
And I believe every person of faith needs to be that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like we need to not be contaminating the airways. We need to actually be contributing to the sound of heaven.
Right.
Because people are very vulnerable right now.
Yes, they are.
Very vulnerable.
And that's like finding the peace in this chaos.
Great. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that is, if you think about that statement you just made, Linda, which is you're so on point, is that we're seeing the merge of what the church celebrates, both mm-hmm. Christmas, peace on earth.
Right.
With the resurrection, peace I say to you. Wow. So you're merging the two biggest time of the Christian faith.
That's true.
That's being merged together in the midst of one word, COVID-19. So therefore, it is critical that the church does not contaminate by adding to the noise. It's critical that the church contributes their voice to the sound of which God is speaking. It's a sound that he's doing. And so people need to be able to hear that sound clearly.
True.
Because one person said, we have to trust something.
Yes.
And so we have a mass amount of people trusting the science community because it's beyond our education.
Yes, it is.
And so we're looking at the scientific community to say, what are you saying? Let's start the conversation. And so that goes into what I believe is critical. Because, you see, if I may, I have come to identify what I call four different types of fear that okay. exists, right? So the first one's a physical fear. This is a threat. And yes. COVID-19 fits that category. There is a threat out there. So no one's making up in their mind. It's not a figment of imagination.
Right, right.
There is a contagious, a dangerous disease virus that's out there that right. is causing a threat to the point where it's affecting the economies
yes.
of this world.
Yes.
So there's that physical threat. So this is not lock them up, you know, and they say that that's not what it is.
But and not only that, our families, our very homes.
Oh, absolutely.
Our church, where we
absolutely.
Go worship, our grocery stores.
Yes.
I mean, our entire life, what we consider our life and how we go about our
Correct.
Daily thing, it's disrupted all that.
Correct. And so when you think about it, because there's physical fear that happens in the neighborhood you live in,
mm-hmm.
but this is a physical threat no matter where you live in.
That's true. Yes.
So that's why it's heightened. Because again, oh, don't go on the east side or don't go on this side, the west side, or don't live over the tracks.
Right.
You know, that's part of this whole concept of there's physical threats there.
True.
And so from that physical threat, what we find is what I call the professional fear. And the professional fears are our frontliners, the frontline workers. These are the people that look at the physical threat.
Right.
And yet they are saying the duty of my call, the duty of my occupation, my passion for what I'm doing is greater than the physical threat.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
that's why we celebrate them. We call them heroes. And that's why we're like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe. Because while many of us can hunker down,
mm-hmm.
these individuals are trained to do what they're doing.
Yes, they are.
Now, of course, someone could say, I'm going to go and fight. But you could do more damage not being trained going into
Don't
this
know
thing.
What you're
Don't know what you're doing. You get in the way, right?
Right.
So it's that whole professional fear. That's why we have the, you know, armed forces. You know what I mean? Like these
yeah.
are professionals. These are people who have committed their passion to do that stuff. So if you think about the question we're asking, being consumed by what's going on, you got these two things merging together. So people are aware of the physical threat, but then they're also aware that there's people who are actually going into it.
Right.
So we're hunkering down. People are actually going into the eye of the storm, so to speak.
Yes, they are.
And so you've got that, right?
Right. And thank God for them.
Oh, my goodness. They're big time.
Soldiers, you know.
But it teaches us something, though. Let's not make their labor be in vain.
Right.
I believe that what we're seeing from a human perspective
mm-hmm.
is people who commit to a calling in the sense of this is a career. This is something that I'm passionate about. It's not spiritual at this point.
Right.
It is strictly the strength of the human spirit. It is the ability for them to realize that I know that physical threat is there, but this is greater.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all going to make sense when we look at really the question of who can we trust.
Right.
Right. And so we go on, and so we have the psychology of fear. When you combine those two, Minister Linda,
right.
you've got the psychology of fear now. You got this, do I fight or flight
wow.
thing going on, right? This is the way we think. And that's what we're seeing going on right now. So in this conversation, I believe that's where we are right now.
And that's our mental state.
Oh, my goodness. That's where we are now. What are we doing? We've been locked down. We've been locked in. We've been sheltered. I don't care what you call it.
Right.
Listen, you can give a good taste to it. It's called soul. Yeah, don't bother me is what it's really saying.
Right.
We could put a great face to it because
right.
we don't want to, you know, contribute again. We don't want to contaminate, excuse me,
right.
You know, what's going on. So we're trying to find a better word for it. It's basically, you will die if you go out there.
I know. I know.
I mean, that's a message.
Yes, it is a message.
Let's not sugarcoat it. That's what is being said out there.
Yes, yes.
So let's lock down this, let's lock down this, let's lock down this, let's lock down this.
The school, you know? Everything where you come in contact with people. It's like, what is this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you got governors saying, if we don't do this, many, many, many will die.
Yes.
How? You can't be any more clear than that. In my ears are wide open. Mm. That's now where people are looking at this place of the right. Psychology of fear. You know, what's interesting, I'll say this, Linda, and you know what's interesting is that we used to be concerned about the fear of failure. We used to be afraid of, you know, just the fear of criticism. Now, everybody's at the fear of death. That's where everybody's at now. I mean, it's right there. Like, they put a pause.
Funny, right.
Pause, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the psychology.
Right,
stop right there. I don't care what you call me. At least I'm a living.
There you go.
And so what we look at here is the final one, which is the personal fear. And this is, who do we trust?
Yes.
Who do we trust? And what's neat is that the church can speak to all four of these. Mm-hmm. But the church must speak to all of these.
Yes.
So the church could speak to all of these. Mm-hmm. But the church must speak to all of these things. This is what I call not all fears are equal.
That's true.
Not all fears are equal. But when I say COVID-19, coronavirus,
oh yeah,
they're all united.
Yeah, you got everybody's attention.
Oh, my goodness,
yes.
Everybody's there.
So the doors are closed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, that really has everybody's minds like swirling. The mm-hmm. church doors are closed.
Right. Now, one can argue that we're being deployed, and that is true. Mm-hmm. One can argue that you're supposed to be the church. That's true.
True.
But our expression, that's the part.
Yes.
It's not about the church doesn't know that they can be deployed. It's not about the church not the reason I can have church at home. That's not the question.
Right.
See, we have to lead the conversation
and
so we can communicate.
Is not the question either.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. So see, the conversation starts by saying, well, no, they can close their doors. Why? Everyone's on board. Come on, comply. Everybody's
mm-hmm,
doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was the conversation.
Right.
But the question becomes, is what is the church communicating by the doors being closed? That's the communication. What are we telling the world? That we're complying? If that's the message, that we're complying, I think we've missed it. I think we've missed it.
True.
And so what we're telling them is, no, we're bringing hope. We're bringing a message. Many, many churches out there are doing a phenomenal, phenomenal work of having that that communication.
Right.
They're on the front lines. They're doing their thing. It's amazing. It is. So I'm not here to say the church is not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to continue to beat the drum to say, let's keep our voices going, because we got to get to a place where we connect.
Amen. You're
we
right.
can't just stay there on the place of communication.
No.
So while some churches have moved to a place of communication,
mm-hmm.
we got a lot that's still, what are we talking about?
Right.
And the reason I say it is because of the divide that exists. And so part of that, again, is because of we're looking at from a scientific perspective. I mean, they're the one that told us to close the church.
True.
They're the ones that told us.
Yes.
I didn't hear any major preacher or I didn't hear him say, close the door of your church.
No. It was like, right now, cut it off.
We live in Ohio.
More,
that's
right?
Right. We live in Ohio. That was what the governor said, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we just all went ahead and said, okay, fine. They were having a conversation with the medical professional.
Could you imagine how he felt having to do that? And he really didn't want to do that because of the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a right that we can assemble ourselves together. But he says, I've never seen a church that was more focused on killing people. I mean, he just laid it on the line
mm-hmm.
than having church.
Right. So when you look at that, that's what begs the question now of the church must be the voice.
Right.
Because the church and the message is we live fearless, not careless.
Right.
So if you're going to make a statement that's going to stick to the church,
mm-hmm.
the question is the church communicating its message?
Right.
Because the actions of certain people, though they are questioned,
mm-hmm.
I think what we have to come and look at is, what are they saying?
Absolutely.
What are they saying? Correct.
Yes.
Because everybody else complied. So because everybody else complied, the ones who don't, they look like, hey, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And so some are responding through it is through a sense of like, I'm going to do this. I don't care what anybody tells me. Mm-hmm. Others, I can't judge their heart.
Right.
Have their own reasons why they're doing that. But I would say this. And I want to make a disclaimer. I am not a medical. We got to trust them. They're the ones telling us what's going on.
Right. We don't have our PhD.
No. Oh, we don't. It doesn't mean they're smarter. It just means in that particular field
right,
of study,
right.
They know more than we do. I want to make sure that goes
Let's
out.
Let's hope so. Yes.
You know, and in that particular area of study that they do.
And we're also finding this out. It's new to them too.
Oh, absolutely.
This certain COVID-19 is new.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely, and that's a really good point, which then again feeds into the whole narrative. Then let's have a conversation, because if it is new to them, then what separates you guys from us then? Because it's new to us as well.
Right.
So if it's new to you,
it is.
There needs to be a sense of humility of there's something greater than our medical degree.
Yes.
So in communicate, there it goes again, in communicating.
Yes.
Share your humility by saying, we really don't know.
Right. And I think they've said that because every day is something new, something different that this disease has done.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Like, whoa, okay. And then you have to refocus.
Oh, you do.
Try.
Absolutely.
You know, well, it doesn't do this and it doesn't do, but it does do that.
Right.
You know.
And they're looking at patterns, right? They're following, you know, the pathology. You know what I mean? They're trying to get all that stuff to try to get a handle on everything.
Yes.
But I do think, though, that now that the church, the medical field has said, this is where we're at. This is my MO. Mm-hmm. Is that, okay, fine. But that's still not encouraging people. Right. I understand. But I need to have wisdom. Mm-hmm. I understand. Some people just get the knowledge. I have no idea what the big terminology, I have no idea with that. But now I need to move to a place of wisdom.
Yes.
And hence, that's why we say we have to live fearless, not careless. Because the not careless aspect of the things speak to the wisdom of God.
Right.
It speaks to the place of where we recognize now, if you look at the science of everything, how do you honor science, but then how do you actually put trust in Scripture?
Because somehow they have to come together.
They do.
Yes.
And the one who brings it together is Jesus.
Right.
So no matter what we're talking about in our conversation, mm-hmm. you got to start with Jesus.
Yes.
You got to communicate Jesus.
Yes.
You got to connect people to Jesus.
Yes.
If we want to thrive in the midst of this pandemic, we must start the conversation with Jesus and not the science community. You got to start with Jesus.
Yes.
Because even him, Luke, was a doctor, a physician.
Yes, he sure was.
So he gives us how you blend those two things together. So what happens is this. Okay, if we know that, then what's going on? Here's what I think behind the scenes where the church needs to be the absolute at its best is that there is an undercurrent in the midst of the current crisis.
Okay.
And the undercurrent is the work of the enemy. The undercurrent is that he's not taking a vacation.
No.
He's not saying, oh, this one's bigger than me. You know what I mean?
No.
He's not sitting back saying, whoa, they already got enough pressure on them.
Right.
Let me leave them alone. You know what I mean?
He is
fully invested in what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
So if the scriptures are correct that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
We ought to be telling the people of faith, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so we have communities. That's where you have, the people at end time. You got everything going on like that. And we have to, make sure that matches the scriptures.
Yeah, scriptures, absolutely.
But one of the things I want to share, Linda, is this. And that's why we're doing a 31-day commitment. What we're doing is through the Gathering Place Facebook is that there's a video of a scripture every day mm-hmm. for the next 31 days. And I thought it was neat, 420 to 520.
Okay.
We're in 2020.
Yes, we are.
That was the Lord. I was like, oh my goodness, that was real. Because I was going to start on the 19th, and like, no, that would be 32 days.
Yes.
So it worked well.
So it started today.
It started today, yeah. Okay. 7 a.m., the video will be there. The written word will be there. And what we're asking people to do to really, to answer the question, mm-hmm. and why you have me on, or what I want to talk about is, how do you live fearless and not careless? Well, the first thing we have to do is we got to stop the spread of fear.
Yes.
We got to stop the spread of fear. So for 31 days, if we can all come together for the next 31 days and say, hey, let's stop this spread of fear. Mm-hmm. I think that we're actually moving towards moving the conversation to now communication.
Right.
And so we begin, you know, at 7, it goes on Facebook. And what we're asking people to do is to hear the scripture, read it themselves. So each person is going to be on, is going to either have a Bible open or they're actually going to have their phone, like their scripture on their phone. Not memorize. We want you to memorize and bear, but we want people to realize that the Word of God is important. Open the Word of God.
Yes.
Let's not just
read for yourself. Yes.
Right. This is not some famous quote. This is not some, you know, motivational speaker. Right. This is, remember I said, the conversation starts with Jesus.
Yes, it does.
We communicate about Jesus and we connect people to Jesus.
Okay.
And so what we do is that the first thing is that, then the second thing is we want people to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in this scripture?
Right, absolutely, yes.
Like today was Genesis 15, verse 1, where it says, Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your reward. I'm your exceeding great reward. Mm. Put your name in that so you can say, Rowan.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
Yes.
Minister Leonard, don't be afraid. Put your name in it.
Right.
Because he said, I am your I'm your exceedingly great reward.
Yes.
And then we want people to then write out what the Holy Spirit tells them. And the fourth thing, we want people to celebrate that. Send me an email to livefearless@mytgp.org so then we can compile it all together. And then we can send this message out to tell people, no matter your background, the Bible speaks to your background.
Yes.
And so we want people to know in the next 31 days, live fearless. Live fearless. Because ultimately,
I was going to say the only way you can do that is with God's word.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Because the science community is saying, this is new for us.
Yes.
Okay, so I really can't put all my trust in them.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like by admission.
Right.
So where can I put my trust? Well, absolutely.
You know.
No matter the highest office.
Right.
Or if you're the lowest person, you know what I mean? That's the janitor or whatever. We're all at the place that where we're saying we've reached our limit.
Yes.
And so the church must send that message. So that message is live fearless, not careless. Because we are relevant. We understand what's going on. We understand people's fears. We do. We understand people are at a point now where they're scared.
Yes.
They're scared. And so we can get into the behind the scenes of what is fanning the flame of the fear.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go deeper. Let's see who's the one that is actually for the fear.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The enemy, the devil himself.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So he uses institutions to fan fear.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to understand who's the one who is for the fear itself.
Right.
And God's not for fear. He clearly tells in his word.
Yes, he does.
Clearly tells in his word.
Yes, he does.
So that's where we are. And that's what makes this exciting. In the midst of all that's going on, what I'm saying excitement is not, it's not excitement about the people who are getting the COVID-19. No, my goodness, no. I'm crying out for mercy.
Yes.
Say, God, have mercy.
Yes.
I'm simply saying that we're seeing God move in a way to take it from a conversation that only God can move it to communication and then move it to the connection part of it.
That's powerful.
Yeah, when we do that, Minister Linda, when we do that,
right?
And I say that with full weight of conviction, when we do that, we will see transformation take place. And if I may add this is what I believe is so important. Is I read in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, Jesus goes to his disciples and he says, why are you afraid? And when I studied that in the Greek, he actually said, why are you guys cowards?
Oh.
He's speaking to the church.
Woo.
In the midst of movement. He says, why are you moved? Come on.
By this coronavirus.
Stop being cowards. Stop
it's
being
just
cowards.
My God, though, it really is.
It wasn't seeker friendly. It wasn't user friendly.
No.
It wasn't politically correct.
No.
It was saying your behavior is not matching who you're supposed to be.
Oh.
He says, I'm with you.
Yes, he is.
My presence is here, and I'm the one who said, let's get to the other side. So we had a conversation. He says, I need to connect to the people on the other side. In the midst right there was the communication.
Yes, it was.
And how did the disciples communicate? In the midst of the chaos and the panic, they woke him up and they were talking to him. You see what I'm saying? Yes. They were talking to a minister, Linda, based on fear, not faith.
That's true.
They didn't wake him up from a place of
saying, don't you care if we die?
Bingo. Jesus, are you this careless?
Yeah.
Don't you care?
Right.
And how many people are asking that question today?
Probably everybody, almost.
At one time or another. Bingo. Yes. Bingo. And if this type of atmosphere exists of fear, I promise you, there are people who are asking the question. And so Jesus is saying, church, come on. Right. Stop being cowards.
Yes.
And that's the same word he used. And I'm going to be sharing this on Sunday. Mm-hmm. God really showed me. We're going to see how Jesus stopped the fear. We're going to see how he did it. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, it's going to be so awesome.
Powerful, yes.
I'm looking. I'm like, Jesus, I'm going to show you how I did it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Gonna
be awesome.
Wow, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My. I'm so glad.
Appreciate you having me. Yes. Appreciate you having me.
Word.
Absolutely. It's gonna be awesome.
Fresh Rama word.
I'm telling you, it's he gave that to me, and it's like how Jesus stopped the fear.
Yes.
And he's asking us to do the same thing.
Peace.
Bingo. Bingo. It's so the revelation when he showed me this, I got up this morning, I'm like, oh my goodness. He's like, yeah, bro. Now that I recognize, don't be cowards. I'm going to show you why I told you not to be cowards. Right. He didn't just criticize or condemn them.
Right.
He spoke to their character.
Right. That's true. So true.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a powerful word.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to miss this for nothing.
Thank you for having me on. I've had a blast. I had a blast.
We're right on time.
Yes. Yes.
Right on time. Word from God. Here we go. People.
Amen.
Saints.
Amen.
Don't be cowards.
That's right.
You know, I was reading, I think it was in Revelation, cowards will not be allowed in the kingdom
Preach.
Of heaven.
That's how vital this really is.
And it's on there, cowards.
Right there.
You will not be allowed to enter in the kingdom of heaven. So we don't want to be cowards. We want to put on our armor.
And be people of character.
And be people of character and stand.
Absolutely.
And stand during
Absolutely.
This coronavirus.
Yeah.
Wow. What a word. What
I'm
a
telling
word,
you.
What a word.
If I could just leave people with this, understand that Jesus didn't call them cowards in the midst of the chaos. He calmed the storm first.
Yes, he did.
And then called them cowards.
Oh. Thank you for coming. Yes. We are out of time.
But not out of word. Love you so much. Appreciate you having me.
Linda Sims. Thank you, Lizzie, for doing what you're doing. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
Amen. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake? Stop. Oh, it's naughty. But it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years,